Y'all were my help this morning.
Yeah.
Because I can use all the help I can get. I may ask y'all to do an encore of that at some point. That was beautiful. I have to tell you, the sermon series input that I received from y'all, wow, animals of the Bible. When the highway of life has too many exits. Personal testimonies. Yes, y'all are a very creative bunch, so I appreciate that. I'm looking through them. Don't be surprised if you hear them come up again in the future. Will y'all join me in a word of prayer, please? Loving spirit of joy and wonder, delight and laughter, light of truth and liberation, spirit of rhythm and song, light of our life, guide us, teach us, move us. Help us to flow with you. Help us to make the most of the ministry opportunities that surround us. And grant us an awareness of your presence, moving in us, around us, and through us, always. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. During the season of Epiphany this year, we have been challenged to expand our horizons, to journey forth into new territory, like the Magi, following the light of a star, the illumination of truth, to cross boundaries. Boundaries and borders that may help us to feel safe, but that all too often contain and restrain us, holding us back from growing, from experiencing new things, thinking new thoughts, and meeting new people. This Epiphany season, we have been encouraged to live outside of the box, to dance outside of our comfort zone, to look at all things in new ways, and to gain a better understanding of the precious gifts that we carry with us. We have been called to sit in new places, to hear the call of prophets stirring us from our slumber, to see beyond labels like Esther, to draw our circle of ministry wide, and to gain guidance through prayerful reflection, through a deep attentiveness to forces much greater than our own. This Sunday, in keeping with leaving our comfortable places and looking at all things in new ways, I wanted to look at the lectionary pericope today, the so very human qualities of it, the human qualities that are woven through it, and to reflect on what happens when the unexpected happens. When our comfortable path forward suddenly takes us off road, up country, to a place that we've never been before. To a lonely place, and sometimes to a place where we may feel like we are the center of attention in a way that's very uncomfortable for us. Previously, in the Gospel of Mark, we encounter Jesus being overwhelmed with all the village at his door, seeking healing, seeking a miracle, a village full of miracles. Now, it seems an important turning point in the early ministry of Jesus. Should I stay or should I go? Should I make my ministry one of healing? Or should I go on to the other villages to preach the good news, the love of God, which is why I came? Jesus goes off to pray in a lonely place, to seek and find some clarity. And he decides he wants to go on. He wants to proclaim the good news in other villages. That's his plan. To tour through the villages of Galilee. But meanwhile, along the way, life has other plans. A person with leprosy approached Jesus. Now, the people in the previous village had a host of diseases, a great diversity of maladies, with some demons tossed in for good measure. But this was different. This was leprosy. And this was not something to be encountered in any village. those who had this condition of skin, and we now know it was likely many different conditions of the skin, all lumped together into one category called leprosy, and believed to be contagious. Not only that, but it was considered to be a judgment from God, a sign of some deep sin manifesting itself on the skin. And so per Leviticus, where all of the laws are found, and some scary things as well. According to Leviticus, those determined to have leprosy by the priest were declared ritually unclean and were banished from the community. Leviticus 13, 45 through 46. The leper in whom the plague is shall wear torn clothes, and the hair of his head shall hang loose, kind of like mine is this morning. He shall cover his upper lip and cry, "Unclean, unclean," all the days in which the plague is in him. He shall be unclean. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Outside of the camp shall be his dwelling. And so lepers were banished from the village, away from family, away from friends, and all the resources that a community has to offer, often to the outskirts, sometimes to the village dump, or a sad encampment away from people. So this was a big deal. This was a really big deal. So you can imagine the person who had been determined and declared by a priest to be ritually unclean and thus banished was out wandering around and saw a rabbi and approached Jesus. Now, it would have been an encounter that most, if not all, rabbis would have studiously avoided at all costs, because proximity and contact with someone who had leprosy would render them also ritually unclean. And then they would have to follow a whole host of practices and procedures to render themselves once again clean, including but not limited to a mikvah, or a ritual dunking in waters, a purification washing to bring about the condition of being clean. And so while most, if not all, rabbis would have avoided this encounter, Jesus instead stepped right into it. Now, some translations say Jesus was moved with pity or filled with compassion. That's kind of the one that I lean to. But other translations say or add very clearly that he was also irritated, that he was also angered. And we're left to wonder if that was because he was approached by someone declared ritually unclean, or because of the determination itself, with all of the implications thereof. I tend toward the latter, because Jesus reached out to touch the person. Now that's a big no-no, which indicates in itself perhaps that Jesus had already determined that the one approaching him was already clean. Already clean in ways and the heart. Clean in a system that had determined him unclean, guilty of some sort of inherent and persistent sin, and thus worthy of banishment, cut off from family and friends. So be aware that the way of Jesus' compassion may sometimes be laced with a little anger. This is very human, and it's very okay. Because I can feel the combination of compassion and anger that some translations seem to try to convey. I feel this way all the time when moving through our gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer, and questioning circles and communities. The families that seem to determine their children are in some way sinful or filled with sin, has determined and pronounced by the priest or the religious leader of their tradition. Worthy of banishment, or to be sent to a camp, a conversion camp. And those still exist and are sadly gaining in popularity in this day and age. And I see that. I see children being sent there because of who they are. I see this with children who exhibit gendered behavior in opposition to the gender determined at birth. I see that in the presence of close-minded parents who see their child's behavior as sinful, something that can separate the child from the love of the parent. I deal with people so wounded by the priests of their religious tradition that they cannot even bear to hear the word God, love, or pray. So many in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, intersex, queer community are separated from their religious community by such things. And that's horrible. And it fills me with both compassion and at the same time, anger. Because it's not right. So perhaps those were the thoughts swirling within Jesus as he extended his hand to the person. We don't know. But we do know that the person received a stern instruction not to tell anyone, to go directly to a priest. Don't stop. Don't pass go. Don't collect any change moving around. Go directly to a priest and make an offering, the prescribed offering. Go directly to a priest. Now, in the Jewish tradition, there were rabbis who were religious teachers who typically operated out of a synagogue and held their position by virtue of their education and calling, by virtue of their wisdom and skills. Whereas a priest, one who typically worked in the temple in Jerusalem, were descendants of Aaron and members of the tribe of Levi. Now, there are a host of differences, clear differences, even in theological beliefs. Differences in their beliefs of an afterlife, differences in their beliefs of the existence of angels, and even means of payment for services rendered. Rabbis were expected to have secular jobs and other means of supporting themselves. Now, I could preach an entire sermon on the interesting differences between priests and rabbis, but I'm not going to do it. Aren't you glad? I'll save that for another time. Just let it suffice to say that the two fulfilled very separate roles in the process of one who was unclean becoming clean again and then rejoining the community. That action required the declaration of a priest. The same one, not the same priest, but a priest who had also declared them unclean. And it also required an offering. Jesus instructed him accordingly. Not to say a word about it. But did the person follow the instructions? Are you paying attention?
No.
Did the person follow the instructions?
No.
No. And can we really blame him?
No.
I can't. I cannot blame him. I certainly can. When one was declared unclean, who is now clean and able to rejoin family and friends, no, I would likely go tell it on the mountain. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And that's pretty much what our friend did, which led to the very thing that Jesus had sought to avoid. Fame, dispenser of healings, maker of miracles. And so the cleansing of the leper indeed had consequences for the ministry of Jesus. Word spread, and it drove him back into lonely places. Now, whereas prayer and solitude may bring clarity, suddenly getting well known for doing something well may be overwhelming, may bring confusion, it may sap energy and all sorts of distractions. Distractions from the individual's purpose and calling. How many good and exceptionally talented individuals, musicians, writers, politicians, speakers, and preachers have gotten swept up in fame and the masses of adoration and instant gratification and all of the distractions that those things bring in their wake, which carry the gifted away from the beauty of their art and their craft and the calling of their gift and their purpose. In such a way, Jesus was again driven into lonely places, threatening to isolate him no less than the leper. Isolate him from the very people that he sought to reach, the people he was called to make community with. Yet despite being the runaway and hide Jesus, the country Jesus with another plan, going up country, moving away, getting away from the villages followed him, finding him, going to where he was, people coming at him from all directions. What is he going to do? Again, I think this is a turning point in the early ministry of Jesus, a point of realization that his ministry would be a calling, one of living the good news, living the gospel, the good spiel, the good story, literally the God spiel, the God story, living it, and he did it. Not running away from the miracles and healings, nor focusing on them, or leaving just miracles in his wake, but rather merging and weaving them into his teaching ministry in such a way that worked well and worked wonderfully well. I think this was indeed a great time and a grand moment in the ministry of Jesus, one in which he learned to clap, to match the rigid rhythm of humanity with the jazz of divinity. The needs of humanity with the compassion of a healer. The odd dance of humanity with the fluid movement of the Spirit. A time of growth. Like the song says, going up country to a place I've never been, where the water tastes like wine. How many times do we find ourselves in that place when our neatly laid plans, we want to do what we want to do, we want to go where we want to go. We want to teach and preach in the manner we want to teach and preach, because that's how we've always done it. But that plan suddenly gets put off, thrown out of whack, derailed, switched, swapped, put off, interfered with by a greater flow, one trying to teach us a greater lesson. When faced with such opportunities, do we lose it or use it? Do we lose the opportunity? Do we lose it by way of losing our composure? Fumbling on the spot, trying to force our original plan into a changing situation? Or do we use it? Do we go with the flow, creating something new? Do we use it or lose it? You know, last night, my computer decided to fail. Actually, we think it was the failure of a simple connector interrupting the path, leading to a loss of data. Read that as part of my reflection for today. My plans were neatly derailed. And yes, I'm not ashamed to say I initially lost it. Heather will testify to that. I lost it right along with the paragraphs that I had written. I lost it, and I did not respond well. But Heather calmed me down. She found a workaround so that I could go forward, not retrieving the things that I lost, but go forward with my own ministry. But in the process, I felt something. I felt something. I felt something calling me to a new place, or a place that's new to me, one of much more movement in the moment, and the encouragement to leave behind, or certainly the ability to step outside of, to move outside of, to dance outside of my scripted plans. Maybe, just maybe, one day I will leave behind what I write altogether and go more with the flow of the moment. The hum of the Spirit in my ear, the song in my heart. Maybe one day I will learn how to clap. Until then, until that morning when I leave my notes at home without enough time to retrieve them, it is enough for me to consider that possibility without feeling the sheer dream-like terror of having my best written plans disappear into thin air. Let us remember that we are called to be the healers, by offering the good news, the God story, by living it ourselves in thought, in word, in deed, daily, every single day. And as this Epiphany season draws to a close today, and as many of us still carry the images of the test payload launch of the SpaceX Heavy Falcon rocket, and the image of a Tesla automobile, a convertible automobile, leaving Earth orbit on its way to outer space, may we also try to expand our horizons equally and reach for the stars. Do new things, unexpected things, and fun things. Encounter the birth of the divine in unexpected places, just like the Magi. Divinity in unexpected people. And know that our journey in this respect continues. As the Uruguayan journalist and writer Eduardo Galeano reminds us, utopia is on the horizon. I move two steps closer, and it moves two steps farther away. I walk another 10 steps, and the horizon runs 10 steps farther away. As much as I may walk, I will never reach it. So what is the point of utopia, the point of the horizon? The point is this: to keep walking. End quote. May we keep walking, keep encountering new things, keep growing. And oh, may we also learn how to clap. May it be so.